Outside of the coast of Boston, a network of small harbor islands exists, a series of unforgiving rocks that have served as a host to some of the most darkest episodes in American history. Some of them were the homes of pirates, where they would fortify before sneaking their stolen goods ashore. Others served purpose set by the colonists, such as the smallpox quarantine hospital located on one small island, where those afflicted with smallpox would be sent to await their death among the other sick and dying members of the Boston community. Now one island, Castle Island, is the home of a fort, a marine fort known as Fort Independence. It has long stood as a large and imposing, formidable structure on that island, and during the War of 1812 was visited by a large and imposing, formidable man, a man by the name of Captain Drane. Captain Drane, as a commander and tactician, was a credit to the armed forces, but as a human being, he was a blight on the face of the planet. Captain Drane had a deadly addiction, not to any substance known to man, but to the art of dueling. Nothing made Drane's blood pump faster or his heart beat stronger than being engaged in single combat against the only opponents he considered worthy of his skill, his fellow officers. And Captain Drane had had himself transferred to Fort Independence so that he might have the opportunity to meet one man in single combat, an officer named Lieutenant Massey. Drane had long heard of Massey's reputation for his skill with a sword. And once Drane arrived at Fort Independence, he launched on a campaign of abuse against the lieutenant, inflicting all sorts of punishments for wrongs that Massey had never committed, insulting his honor, until finally Massey could take no more. And he challenged Drane to a duel. The two men exchanged seconds. They agreed on a time and a place. Since dueling was illegal, they chose to duel on Christmas Day in the dungeon of Fort Independence, with only their seconds as witnesses, though by all accounts every parry, thrust, and riposte was absolute brilliance, a display of swordsmanship the likes of which has not been seen since in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. But ultimately, Captain Drane proved himself to be the better duelist, the better swordsman, and the better murderer. He slew Lieutenant Massey and left that dungeon convinced that he would never see the inside of a prison for his crimes. There was a code of honor among the officers in the military. They would never turn him in for any crime he committed, but that code of honor also dictated that the Marines would take care of their own. So the other officers, tired of seeing their comrades in arms and good friends die for the pleasure of one man, got Captain Drane very intoxicated one evening and lured him down into the dungeons below Fort Independence. They had convinced him that he would get to witness a duel. However, once they got him down below, there was no duel. Instead, they led him to a small alcove. When Captain Drane tried to ask what was going on, they struck him over the head with a bottle and knocked him unconscious. By the time he came to, Captain Drane had not only been chained into that alcove, but another wall had been built up, sealing it all the way up to his chin. Well, immediately Drane began to scream for help, and they shoved a rag into his mouth to silence him, and then the other officers raised one last toast to a fallen soldier, and then they sealed up the alcove and buried Captain Drane alive. No one knows how long it took Drane to die there alone in the dark. Somewhat of a three-way race, perhaps, between starvation, thirst, and the rats gnawing at his flesh. But it was several months after that the first Marines reported sighting the ghost in Fort Independence. A silent specter that would always wander the lower halls of the fort. Whenever it came across a living Marine on sentry, it would gesture to them to follow it. Though none ever would. Most of them feared the ghost for what it was. Others feared Drain's revenge, and so the good captain haunted Fort Independence unmourned and soon unremembered for many years. Then one brave private decided to follow the ghost. Somehow they managed to communicate, and he tried to tell Drain's plight, but no one believed him. That brave private then went on to write what later became a very famous piece of fiction inspired by Captain Drain. He changed the time and the place of the story, but you see, that private's name was Edgar Allan Poe, and his tale, The Cask of the Amontillado, was that very story inspired by the tragic Captain Drain. But still, even this was chalked up as just being a delightful piece of fiction from an imaginative and somewhat deranged mind, until the year 1905. In that year, renovations were being performed on Fort Independence, and one of the construction crews working in the dungeon of the fort opened an old chamber and discovered a skeleton inside it. This skeleton still had the tatters of a pre-Civil War uniform clinging to its bones and a moldy rag shoved in its jaw. Well, this body could not be identified as the Captain Drain. However, it was placed in a tomb for unknown soldiers. From that day forward, the ghost has not been sighted in Fort Independence since.